It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
All right. Good afternoon to you once again. Welcome back and thank you very much for tuning in. You are listening to Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. It's 10 minutes now after one. Time for us to get into our next segment. And we do have Pastor Musa Gwiza with our Grow Model. Remember, the Grow Model is meant to help you grow as you eat your lunch. You are feeding your physical body, and also as you grow your physical body, we're giving you something to grow your spiritual body as well. That's what we're doing with our Grow Model, and we do have the good pastor standing by to help us navigate our way through our conversation today, which is about character change. And today we're talking about the possibility of change. Pastor Michael Musa Gwiza, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, Lupondwana. The pleasure is all mine for being here.
So we're talking about character change the whole week. In fact, today we'll be focusing on the possibility of change. And we often hear the phrase, people never change. I don't know how far true that is. I have my own inclinations, but I don't know. But the really true, the very truth about it is, if we hope and aspire to change, it must be because we believe it is true. Is it true that people can change or people never change? While change isn't easy, it's also not impossible. Our past doesn't have to define our future, right? Growth is possible and growth is change, even if it's slow and impactful. But growth is something that can be defined as change. That's why we do have Pastor Musa to talk us through this the entire week. And Funis, why do you think people believe character change is impossible? Why do people think that?
One reason might be the observation that some people seem to repeat the same patterns of behavior over time. And this oftentimes leads to a belief that true change is unlikely.
I see.
But this perspective might overlook the biblical promise of new life in Christ.
Oh.
According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
Okay. Are you going to read it for us?
As well as the transformative power of the Holy Spirit, as is promised in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and 27.
Oh. You came packing bombs today. Please read them for us. I'd like to hear what those verses say.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Okay.
And the promise of the transformative power of the Holy Spirit in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27 actually says, that is God speaking to Ezekiel. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of you, your flesh, and give you a new heart of flesh.
Okay. Okay. Let's talk to you, Mfundis, about your person now as a person, not just as a pastor, but as a person. What's one change you've seen in yourself over time?
Reflecting on personal growth. Yeah, thank you for that one. Reflecting on personal growth can be a powerful exercise. And changes within me that I've observed might include developing new habits, improving relationships, adopting a more positive outlook on life. I think those are some of the changes that I've observed within me.
Okay. In your pastoral expertise, Mfundis, can true change happen without spiritual transformation?
I believe through experience that true change comes as a result of the agency of the Holy Spirit. It is God in the person of the Holy Spirit who works the transformative power, and that provides change. But furthermore, however, while spiritual transformation can be a powerful catalyst for change, It may not be the only path because not everyone is spiritual. People can also experience significant personal growth through various means such as therapy, self-reflection, new experiences. But however, like I've already said, for many, spiritual transformation provides a deep sense of purpose and motivation for change, as seen in the transformation of Paul after his encounter with Jesus in Acts chapter 9. You know, Ellen White also highlights the importance of this transformation in the, I'm sure it's Desire of Ages, page 172, where she writes that the conversion of the sinner is not a matter of mere human agency. It is a work of divine power.
Okay.
Likewise, the parable of the prodigal son also illustrates the potential for change and redemption through a change of heart and returning to God.
In your observation, Mfundis, what are these things that get in the way of personal growth and character development?
Things that get in the way of personal growth and character development. There are several factors that can hinder personal growth. And these include the fear of change. The fear of change itself, it hinders personal growth. Then the lack of self-awareness. You know, that for example, in as a pastor, I would say that the best way to know yourself is to know God. Because the moment you know God, that's when you discover that yourself and God are different. So that provides a lack of self-awareness. And also, negative influences can also hinder personal growth and character development, as well as also past traumas. Past traumas also contribute immensely to a discouragement of a personal growth and character development.
Okay. Wow. I'd love to get into that, but I don't think we're ready for that now. So finally, Mfundis, how do we stay patient with others who are still in the process of changing?
Staying patient with others requires empathy. It requires understanding. It requires realistic expectations, not unrealistic expectations. And recognizing that change is a journey and a process. A journey that setbacks are a normal part of the process can help. You know, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, for example, encourages us to carry each other's burdens, supporting one another in our growth and development. You know, growing and developing is not a one-off event. It is a process. I like the ways of my favorite writer, Ellen White, again, where she reminds us that we are to be kind, patient, and forbearing as our Heavenly Father is. So celebrating small victories and offering grace can also foster patience.
I'm curious, Mfundis, if you allow me just one more question. I've heard many of your colleagues, pastors, preachers, telling us that once you come into contact with Jesus, you will never be the same, implying that it is not a process. It's not a journey, as you're suggesting. It's that moment of meeting him and you are changed, instantaneously changed. How far true is that? I'm listening to you now saying it's a journey. Is it? Which is it exactly? Is the changing power of meeting Jesus instantaneous, or is it a journey, as you've just said? Or are people wrong when they say once you meet Jesus you will never be the same?
Yes, there is justification is to be in Jesus, and that is a deliverance from the power of guilt. But thereafter, and that is a one-off event. When you are in Christ, being in Christ is a one-off event. Jesus, for example, in the parable of the prodigal son, the father there received his prodigal son when he came back. He received him the way he came back, but he never allowed him to stay the same. So being in Christ, coming back to Christ, is a one-off event. But thereafter, what follows is what is called the sanctification, which on its own is a process. So first of all, we are in Christ. That is justification. When we are in Christ, what follows is to be like Christ. Now, being like Christ is a process. which is also followed by being with Christ. And that shall happen when Jesus comes again. And that is called glorification. So it is one part of it is one of event, which is justification. But thereafter, sanctification is a process. And then thereafter, glorification is a one of event.
You're using very big words, Mfundisi. You gave us a verse that I found rather interesting, which speaks also to this very same issue. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. That verse that you quoted at the beginning, I thought was a beautiful text to begin the show with,
Amen.
Implies instantaneous change. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. It implies instantaneous change. Am I reading that wrong?
You are right in the sense that this promise of the Bible of a new life, the biblical promise of a new life in Christ, implies that when one is in Christ, when one receives Christ to be his Lord and personal Savior, then you now partner with Christ. Christ now bears your burdens. He begins a process within you of delivering you from the guilty, of delivering you from the power of sin. It is Christ himself in the agents of the Spirit who now performs the duty. It's no longer you, but it is Christ who does that in you. It's like, for example, let me give you an example. It's like registering as a student at a university. The registering part is a one-off event, but that is not the learning. The learning part now is a process, but it only happens to those that are registered, you know. So when you are registered as a university student, then you have been delivered from the illiterate, but that does not mean that there and there you are now literate. A process has to happen now of learning so that you become literate.
Okay. All right. That's enough for today. Thank you very much for indulging me. Mfundisi, appreciate your time and your insights. We have a whole week to learn from you. Thank you very much for agreeing. Let's do this again tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a wonderful day further.
Thank you, same to you, Lupondwana. Have a good day. Goodbye, listeners.
Part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to Baptist.